Word today, amen. The Word of God is all we need. So we're going to finish up the short series today, and with it we will finish up our yearly series of Living in Denial. And then hopefully, unless the Lord does what He did to me 3 weeks ago in my office on a Thursday night, hopefully we're going to be able to get next week into speaking about Thanksgiving and Christmas. They are just things that I love to speak about, and there's so much you can do with those two holidays because of what God has done for us in bringing thanks to Him. And so if you wanted to turn somewhere, I'm sorry, it wasn't Matthew, it was John. It was John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. I don't have those on the slide, so don't look for it, Dave. It's just we've studied it for the last 2 weeks now. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at the topic of hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. And John 10, 1 to 5 tells us that God does still speak to His people, and that His people or sheep know His voice, and they know how to hear it. And so that's what this whole series has been. It does go with living in denial, because we've been talking about denying the enemy, the voice, his voice in our ears, and listening to what God was saying. And so this is what we've been talking about. And we said that God speaks through His Word. Amen? God speaks through His Word. So, if you are reading the Bible and you don't get something from it, it may be because you're not reading the Bible correctly. The Bible is not something that, even though we all do it, because we're on different reading plans. Some of us read the Bible through in a year. Some of us read the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once in a year. Whatever you do, there's all kinds of plans out there. I change mine every year so that it's never the same stuff in the same order. I shouldn't say stuff, so that it's not the same Word of God in the same order. I like to mix it up a little bit because I think there's some freshness in that. But whatever you choose to do, that's up to you. But I want you to know, reading the Bible is not a check mark on a page. All right, I read, it's January 1st, so I read if you're going with the annual Bible in a year, January 3rd is going to be Genesis 1 to 3. Okay, I know it by heart. All right, and so, oh, I read Genesis 1 to 3. I'm good for the day. You're missing something. Sit down with your Bible. Yes, you have verses that you need to read if you're sticking to a plan. I get it. But sit down with the Bible and pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I thank You for Your Word. You are the living Word. And Holy Spirit, You are the Spirit of revelation. Today, I believe that You are going to speak to me from this Word. Bring revelation to my heart. And I guarantee that when you read that Word, with that leaving time for it, that you're going to see God speak some profound things into your heart. From even Genesis 1, 2, and 3. All right? My least favorite book of the Bible to read is Numbers. Numbers is just people. And then in the midst of that, you find a little truth. You know, I mean, that's all truth. But I mean, you find a little, ooh, I like that. And so writing journaling on Numbers is tough, man, because it's like, okay, what do I journal about today? Because it was just a bunch of names, a bunch of tribes, a bunch of this. But you know what? God still speaks to me when I pray that prayer in Numbers, in amassing the crowd that God had built up to fight the wars and to go into the promised land. It's amazing the things that God will speak even from Numbers. So expect it. We said that God speaks through His Word, and that it is the very Word that shuts the enemy up. Some of you have been listening to the enemy's voices, and you've heard him say, well, you're this, or you're that, you'll never be this, you'll never amount to that, well, nobody else has ever done that, well, you know, and all of these things. Listen, shut the enemy up. His lies cannot stand against the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God says who you are. The Word of God says who God wants you to be. The Word of God shows you why Jesus died for you. And if you were the only person, whoever I'm talking to today, if you were the only person alive on this earth, Jesus still would have died for you because God had a plan to love you, to show you His love, and to bring you to what He created you for. And so His lies cannot stand against the truth of God's Word. So memorize it. Memorize it. Commit it to memory. My wife and I buy those little, 5x7, whatever. They're little cards. 3x5. Note cards. We punch a hole in them. And on the one side, we write the scripture where it's found, John 3:16. On the other side, we write the scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then what we'll do is we'll use them as flashcards. We put them on one of those little key rings that you can open up, and we just put them on that, and we just flip them. And that's how you learn your verses. And meditate those things. Meditate on it and memorize it and speak it out of your mouth every chance you get. Speak the Word of God out of your mouth. One of the keys for God to put into us is for us to take what He has already given and put it out. Does that make sense? And so some of you are waiting, God, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. And God's waiting, wait, you're full. I can't put any more into you. So you've got to give it out. You've got to go speak it. You've got to go pray for somebody. You've got to go minister to somebody because you have no room to contain anymore. We've got a lot of, and please excuse me, I'm not talking about what you look like today. I'm talking about spiritual. We've got a lot of fat Christians. You know what I'm saying? Well, Pastor, you're calling the cow, whatever. I get that. But I'm talking about spiritually fat. God has poured into us, and God has gifted us, and God has blessed us, and we're just containing it again, fatter and fatter and fatter in the spirit. And God's like, you can't take anymore. You're going to explode. Give it out. So if you want to hear from God, then give out what he's been putting into you up to this point. God cannot speak a new word until we have already reacted to his previous word. Amen? So if you're still waiting, I'm going to tell you something a little bit that happened to me last week. It was unbelievable. I'm going to tell you what happened last week as I come to another point in my message. But if we're not willing to go and give it out, if we're not willing to go react to it, then God's going to say, well, why should I tell you something else if you're not going to react to what I've already told you? I used to hate when my kids were younger, and I would tell them something and tell them something and tell them something, and they would not do it. You know, well, I'm not going to tell them again. And what do I say? I'm not going to tell you again. Come on, parents. We've all been there, right? If I stop this car, my dad used to do that every trip to Disney. If I have to pull over. Yeah. And we also like, yeah, what's he going to do? Dad wants to get there as much as we do. He wants to get there more than we do. Well, he's not going to pull this car over. And I think Dad probably did pull the car over once. And that was probably because Susan had to get beat because she was the worst one of us all. And I just say that because I saw her back there today, my sister. Praise God. I don't think Susan ever had to get beat. All right, let's get into the word. You see how I digress? My ADHD kicks all over. Last week, we looked at the fact that God speaks through impressions or pictures. Not only but does the Bible tell us to hear what God is saying, but if you didn't listen to the message last week, please listen to both of these messages the week before and last week because they go together. And last week, the Bible says, taste and see that God is good. Don't only hear the word, but taste and see that God is good. Last week we said that he has given us the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That he has placed that ability in us through the person and power of his Holy Spirit. But that it requires something on our part. There are just too many Christians sitting around saying, okay, God, give it to me. Okay, God, give it to me. And we never want to go and do what is our part. And it requires something. It requires a hunger for his presence. It requires that there be a hunger in us for the word. It requires that there be a hunger in us to follow after him and to chase after him. It requires that we'll make some undistracted time in his presence, that we'll clear out our schedule because we want to spend time with God, and a desire to go deeper into his word. That when we have, we looked at last week, when we have, and it says that God's given to each and every one of us, when we have, guess what else it says? We will get more. In other words, when we recognize that this has been given, that the ability to know God's word and hear God's voice, when we recognize that it's been given to us, then guess what? We will want to go deeper into his word, and we will want to hear greater mysteries of the things of God. To the point that Jesus, and I closed it out last week with this, to the point that Jesus even said that the prophets who went before us would be envious of the things that you and I have the capacity through the Holy Spirit to hear of God and to see of God. Think about that. Think about Daniel, who was a master of prophecy, who wrote a book that goes right along with the book of Revelation. You can't separate the two. They go together so well. And Daniel, who could see all of that, would be jealous of us if there was jealousy in heaven, which there isn't, because of the things that we have the capability to hear and to see through the Holy Spirit. Think about that. And to go along with that, God speaks in dreams and visions. So have your journal always at the ready, I said. Have that phone ready to record. Well, no, I told you don't have your phone. So have a piece of paper ready to go. I don't want to contradict myself. But no, I mean, sometimes when you're sleeping, I have the phone by my bed. And I've told you, sometimes I've missed great messages. I've woken up middle of the night. God has woken me up, said, speak on this. Okay, God, I'll remember it in the morning. Yeah, I didn't remember it. But I'm sure he's brought that out in other ways because God doesn't want his word not to return, to return void. So I'm sure he's worked it out in my heart in other ways. So have something there to record what God is speaking to you. We did not get into this last week, but God will use other people to speak to us. In other words, he speaks through them. I believe this, and I have prepared for that to happen in this message. In other words, Thursday night when I'm working on my message and when I'm doing what I do each and every week, I'm praying, God, you know who's going to be there. I don't. There are faces today that I see that I've not seen in a very long time. It is so good to see all of you. There are new faces here that we've not seen before. It is good to see you. And so what I want to say is I don't know who's going to be here any given Thursday. And so I pray, God, you know who's going to be here. Prepare my heart to speak to that person as if they were hearing it for the very first time. And so, and the prayer I pray before each sermon, God, hide me behind the cross, so that others would be able to hear your voice and not mine. God, let them hear your voice. We may each hear something different, as I also prayed, but that's okay because God speaks to us and God challenges our heart where we are. None of you are in the same place with the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Some are baby Christians. Some are toddler Christians. Some are teenage Christians. Oh, God, my gosh, if you got to deal with teenage Christians, that's it. And then older Christians and then mature saint Christians, right? We're all in a different place with the Lord. And so for a pastor, I've got to be totally reliant on God's Holy Spirit so that you can hear what God needs you to hear, and I can speak to you at the level where you're at. That can only be done through the Holy Spirit. Only done. So speak to your people, I tell the Lord, speak to your people. But it doesn't have to be your pastor. It could be a brother or sister that says something to you. It could be someone you just met that says something to you. The important thing is that you know enough of the Word of God to know that that person is speaking truth or not. Right? Okay, God, I hear you. I don't even know this person. They've come up to me and they've said something to me. I don't know who they are, but God, I believe that's you. I believe you're speaking to me. But you need to be able to discern what is truly of God, or is it of man, or even maybe of hell, because Satan wants to mess you up. My brothers and sisters, as we grow in our ability to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father, we will grow in our discernment of truth and lies. We will know the difference between the two. And if you are not there yet, that is fine. And if you're still struggling with this, that is fine. But I would tell you this morning, push forward and ask the Lord to help you. Ask Him to speak to you and ask Him to help you and to grow your capability spiritually to hear what His Word would be saying. I think the key to hearing God's voice is this, and I did say this last week. We do not need a dramatic encounter to hear the voice of God. Some are waiting for an angel to show up. Right? Or deliver the word. Some are waiting for major signs and wonders. Some are waiting for the fleece, like Gideon, right? Well, if this is wet in the morning and the ground's dry, then I know you're speaking. I don't believe God works in fleeces. I know He did with Gideon because that's where Gideon's faith was, but I think God wants us to grow up beyond those things. But know this, whether you see it in the fire, whether you see it in the earthquake, whether you see it in the small voice, know this, God is still speaking daily to you. He's speaking daily to you in the capacity that you can receive. And so if you're not hearing it loud enough, then you need to increase your capacity to receive. We need to turn on our spiritual radar, so to say. We need to turn on our spiritual radar. We need to get used to walking and living according to spiritual rather than the emotional. So many times we're so used to walking and talking in this world that we live in. And I get that because we're human beings. But there is a far greater and more powerful realm. We call it the spirit realm, the spiritual realm, that we are a part of as the children of God, and we miss it so many times. That in which our God moves, He moves in the spirit realm. He moves. Now, the spirit realm always affects the physical realm. I know I'm setting a lot of things up, but I want to get somewhere and close this out today. That it's the spirit realm is that in which our God moves. It's that in which our God has His way, and then it affects the physical realm. Let me give you another prayer that you can pray to better hear God's voice. Lord, open my spiritual eyes to see, my spiritual ears to hear, and sharpen my spiritual senses so that I can operate in this other dimension that you created me to operate in. Amen? The spirit realm. Praise God. Let's go over a few things today, five things I want to look at to bring this series to a close, and we'll get into our holiday messages next Sunday, God willing. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Probably should have told you to turn there. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. You probably know these by heart. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose, or woman, you could put woman in there, for let not that man or woman suppose that he or she will receive anything from the Lord. They are a double-minded person, unstable in all their ways. I would think that one of the main reasons that people have for wanting to hear the voice of God is direction in life and direction in the tough areas of life. They got to make major decisions. That's what I'm thinking most people cry out to God for. The doctor calls and gives you bad news. God, I need to hear from you. Something goes on in the household. God, I need to hear from you. Something goes on at the job. God, I need you to speak to me. I need to hear from you. And so I think this is why we're so desperate to hear the voice of God. You see, we should not always be desperate to hear the voice of God. We should be listening all the time. We're only desperate to hear the voice of God if it's because there's something desperate going on in our lives. But why have you not been listening to the voice of God all along? Because I believe that God could have readied you if you were listening to his voice for what was coming. Does that make sense? For instance, last week I spoke a message to the OSL students, and I talked about Pastor Jerry Dierman, whom I love and respect very deeply, who has written the OSL program over many years, and who just is a fantastic pastor and loves people and cares for people and really knows how to share the word of God. And so Pastor Jerry was one day in his office, and the Lord spoke to him, the Holy Spirit spoke to him in his office, and said, Jerry, start going through the scriptures and start underlining and memorizing and studying the scriptures of healing. Because in 6 months, you're going to need to stand on them. Think about that. Wouldn't you like to know that? 6 months ahead of time, that guess what? The doctor's going to call and this is going to happen. And you're going to need these verses, so start studying them now. Charlie, I have not forgotten to get you those verses. I am so sorry. I write it down every week, and every week I don't get to it. I will. I promise you. So I've been promising some verses to her for some things she's experiencing. But anyway, so this is November. So he does the count. Okay, May. Come May, both his son and his daughter come down with, his son is diagnosed with asthma, and his daughter is diagnosed, comes down with a very serious ear infection to the point of screaming constantly. And so he's already in the scriptures. He's already been 6 months in these scriptures of healing, and he's just quoting them and praying them over his children. Now, Jerry, at that point, him and Kimberly were our national youth directors in Foursquare at that point. So Kim and I were serving under them, and we had a huge function that we were going to for camp, and Jerry was flying out to be our speaker. So he always traveled with his family. He never left without his family. But he could not fly with his daughter because of her ear. The doctor said, no way can this young lady fly. It will damage her ear with the pain that she's in, or she'll just scream the whole way. And so Jerry began to pray, and he had already been 6 months in those scriptures. He had been praying them over his family. So he just continued to pray. And one day he called from his office. He put her on the phone to Kimberly, and she put the daughter on the phone. He said, listen, you're healed. God just told me you're healed. He said, so I just want you to know that God says you're healed. And she was in pain. He said it took him about 45 minutes to get home from work. I think that was the time frame. And by the time he got home from work that day, she was completely healed. No pain, nothing. The doctor okayed her to fly. Doctor said everything was fine. Went to the doctor for his son, and his doctor said, that's not asthma. That was misdiagnosed. He didn't have asthma. He had some kind of bronchitis or infection in his respiratory system. It's not asthma. And Jerry says, I am determined to believe that it was asthma and that God healed my son, because God said 6 months ago that he would. And so wouldn't that be great if we'll start listening to God now? When the doctor calls in 6 months, we'll be ready, because God would have already said, hey, get ready for this. Stand on these scriptures, know these things, right? James tells us how to make that happen. He says, if you lack wisdom about something, ask Wikipedia, right? No. Oh, he doesn't say that. Oh, I'm sorry. It says, no, it says post it to Facebook, because all your 6,000 friends will tell you what to do. Doesn't say that either. It says, ask a good friend. No. What's it say? Ask God. Ask him, ask God, whatever your scripture says. It's talking about God. And there are words, and there are those words again from last week that we talked about. And it will be given to him. If he asks of God, it will be given to him. If she asks of God, it will be given to her. But look, you just can't ask. You need to ask in a certain attitude of heart or belief. What is it? What does he say to ask in? Faith, 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 faith. Now, you would think that faith would be enough there, but James goes on a little further, and he says, faith without doubting. Wait a minute. Isn't faith without doubting all the time? Isn't that faith? Can you have faith and still doubt? Well, apparently you can. In Mark 9, we read about a little boy who was demon-possessed. And this father had done everything that he could do for this child, because this child's life was threatened. Many times the demon would throw the kid in the fire to try to burn him up. Other times it would throw him in the lake to try to drown him. And he would do all these types of things to hurt this little boy. And the father tried everything to see his son set free. He even took him to the disciples of Jesus, but they couldn't make it happen. Enter the King of Kings. enter Jesus Christ. The Father and Jesus have some dialogue. Jesus says, how long has this been happening? He knows all this already. Come on, he's connected to God the Father. How long has this been happening? He's trying to get something from the Father. How long has this been happening? What happens? What would you like to see happen? And Jesus says to him, oh, I'd like to see my son set free. He says, it will if you believe. To which the Father said something that has always stuck out to me. You've heard me say this many times. It's something I still question once in a while, though I do understand it. The Father says, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. Let me tell you what this Father is saying, because some of you are right there today. This Father is saying, Lord, I know that you can do this. I have faith. But my faith has been tried. It's been shaken. It's been shaken every time I need to pull my little boy out of the fire pit because he wants to burn himself up. Lord, my faith's been attacked every time I need to pull him out of the pool because and do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to him because the enemy's trying to drown him. Jesus, my trials and tribulations and my experience so far have limited my faith. Do I have faith? I do. But Lord, help my unbelief. Help what I've seen. Help what I've experienced that has spoken against my faith in you and has tried to turn my faith for you. Jesus, I believe you can. I just don't know if you will. Jesus, I believe you can. I'm just at a place where I need help. Help my unbelief. This is what James says. Ask in faith. Without doubt. Ask in faith without doubt because your faith has been tried and your faith has come under attack and the enemy has come against your faith. And many times you walk through things and you said, well, if there was a God of love, if there was a God who cared, if there was a God who really meant what he said to me, why would I be going through this? And the enemy's like, yep, that's it. He can't hear you. He's not going to hear you. He's not going to do anything. And so God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Why is this important? Because powerful things are released by belief. Do you hear what I'm saying? Powerful things are released by faith. It might be your child. It might be your job. It might be your marriage. It might be anything that you are going through. I don't know what that might be. If you need a word from the Lord, then ask in faith. Because God is motivated by two things. You want to write these down. God is motivated by two things. First, he's motivated by the praise of his people. Those songs that we sang on that board today, they were important to what we're doing right now. Because if you don't enter in and sing and declare who God is, do you know how hard it is for me to stand behind this pulpit and speak the word of God? But when you enter in like you entered in today, and last week we had a powerful time of worship, when you enter into those things, you know what? It's easy for me by the power of the Holy Spirit, because God is moving already in this place, it's easy for me to stand behind this pulpit and just deliver what God has given, and it's easy for you to receive it, because guess what? We had worship and praise. We entered into the presence of God. So God is moved firstly by the praise of his people. Secondly, God is moved by the faith of his people. That's why I told Pastor Rick, and I had forgotten when he told me his testimony this past week. I said, Rick, I said, I would love for you to share that. And, you know, before I speak. And I said, no, wait, share it before we pray, because there may be people that need to hear that testimony for their faith to be raised, to even come up for prayer so that they would receive something to know God has already been moving. Amen? So God is moved by the praise of his people, and God is moved by the faith of his people. Hearing God's voice is one of those powerful things. I said powerful things are released. Powerful things happen in faith. Think about it. Listen to me. I might have already said this because of some praise we had today. Maybe it was on my heart already because of this. You get to hear the voice that has created everything. Now, come on. You're not following. Church, you get to hear the voice of the one who created everything. You get to hear the voice. Amen. You get to hear the voice that said, let there be, and there was. He speaks to you. He's not speaking to anybody else. Well, he's speaking to everybody, but he's speaking to you about that thing. You get what I'm saying? So don't think he's going to speak to somebody else about that thing. He's speaking to you about that thing. He's saying, let me into your life, and you know what? I'll lead you. I'll guide you. You'll hear my voice, the voice that echoed. Listen, they want to say there's a big bang. There was a big bang. But it wasn't the big bang that they say there was. The big bang was God saying, let there be. Right? That's what the universe heard. And that's what hung the earth and hung the universes and put everything in space. God said, let there be. And the Bible says, there was. Bang! Let there be. There was. Amen. There was a big bang. It was God's voice. God's word can do the same in your life today. Yes, I know the enemy has tried to bring disaster. Laura, you are here for a reason today. Amen. I believe that this word is also for you. The enemy may have brought disaster to your life. He may have tried to destroy your life, but God's word puts it all back together again. Unbelief chokes out supernatural experiences. So it's necessary, listen to me, it's necessary to build an atmosphere of faith in order to gain the spiritual principles that are necessary to have the ability to hear the word of God. Let me say that in a simpler form. If you will build it, he will come. Amen? Field of dreams, right? If you will build a place for God's presence, that's what this singing is all about. That's why we have this band here. They are here not so you look at them and say, oh, don't they have a great voice? Oh, can't they play well? No, no, no. And if that's the case, then we'll just put a sheet up in front of them and you'll never see them again. That's not what they're there for. They're there to lead us into the presence of God, so that we can come into the rest of the service and have God move, because they've lifted our faith. They've lifted a praise out of us so that we have set an atmosphere for God to be able to move. That's what worship is all about. Hallelujah. I said this already, and it's important, but it's so important that it's now the third time in three messages that you're hearing it. Find a place of quiet and peace. If Jesus had to, why don't you? Luke 5:15-16. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Talking about Jesus. So he, Jesus himself, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now here's the thing. You might read the Bible and Jesus will say to somebody whom he healed. Usually it's a fantastic miracle. Jesus will say, go and tell nobody. Don't tell anybody when you go. Now come on. If I'm healed of a disease, if I can't walk all my life, and all of a sudden I'm jumping around, if I haven't been able to hear one voice since I've been born, and I can hear, if I haven't been able to see colors or see anything else, and I can see, how am I going to remain quiet? I'm going to go tell everybody. I'm going to shout it from the highest cliff. He healed me. Jesus healed me. Look what he's done. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. And now I can. He healed me. And Jesus says, shh, don't tell anybody. Why? Because he knew the outcome. He knew as a physical man. Remember, Jesus is 100% physical, 100% God. He knew as a physical man that he was going to be inundated with everybody. Oh, he did that for you? Oh my gosh, I need to get there. And the crowds would follow him everywhere. And it says here, the report went out around, right? Concerning him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. But Jesus recognized something. Jesus recognized something that every pastor needs to recognize. Pray for me that I would recognize this every day of my life. I'm no good in the pulpit if I'm not in my prayer closet. I'm no good in ministry to you, visiting you in the hospital, doing what I do with your families, or praying for you if I'm not first in my prayer closet. Because it has to flow from there. And so Jesus would find a place and he would quiet himself in the wilderness and he would pray. He went to a place where everything was quiet. He went to a place away from people. They would still search for him. We read in scriptures where they searched for him. And if Jesus had to do that, then how much more do you and I have to do at church? Point three. That was two. Point three. Remove those things which are hindrances. Remove those things which are hindrances. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12:1-2, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews, run the race. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Whether it's running the race or whether it's just wanting to hear the voice of God, you need to get rid of the baggage that we all carry all day long. Do you know what I'm talking about? You need to know your hindrances. You need to know what's holding you back. For some of us, it's our theology. For some of us, it's our theology. Maybe we grew up in churches where we were taught, God doesn't speak like that today. God doesn't do those things. Maybe we were taught in our church, God can only speak to the pastor or the priest. Maybe we were taught that we had to be in church service or a prayer meeting or maybe a worship service for God to speak to us. Can I tell you? They are all hindrances. They are all hindrances. I want to introduce you to Dina. Dina is a friend that I know. I won't tell you how I know her only because I can't. But anyway, Dina is a friend that I know, and her mom called me last week after the service. They had been watching our services online. And so say hi to her before she leaves today. But anyway, her mom spoke to me and said, we go to a church, but we don't hear and experience what we hear and experience when we watch your church. That has nothing to do with me. That is all about the Holy Spirit. That is all about a people that are believing that God speaks to people today. And I don't know what experiences they're talking about, but for some reason, there's another experience that they've experienced online, not even in the house. So I don't know what she's experiencing today. I hope it's all good, and I hope that she's really feeling the presence of the Lord today. But these are hindrances. A huge hindrance in today's society is just being too busy to listen. I mean, we have a hard time listening to our own kids. Come on. I have a hard time listening to Miss Kimmy sometimes. Not because, amen, she said amen. Not because she's hard to listen to, but simply because life is busy. How are we going to learn to listen to God if we can't listen to those whom we love? Look at your daily schedule. See the hindrance that it is to spend time turning your ear towards God because of your busy schedule. Our days are filled with activities that appear and are that appear to be worthwhile. I'm not saying our activities are wrong. Many of them are good things. But what do? They keep us busy all day and keep us from our time with the Lord. Another dangerous barrier, I've seen this in the church, is our assumption or presumption about what we think God is saying to us. We always want to hear good things from God, don't we? We want Him to tell us what we are doing is good. But could I ask a question to every parent that's here today? Where would your children be today if you just agreed with everything that they wanted and you just gave them everything that they wanted to do? You just did it for them. Where would they be today? They probably wouldn't even be alive. Our pediatrician, with our first son, we were new parents. He looked at my wife and I in his room when he was inspecting Kenny, and he said to us, let me tell you what your job is for the next 3 years. Just keep him alive. That's what he told us. Just keep him alive. Because as he grows and as he toddles and as he does what he does, he's going to stick things in electric sockets. He's going to ingest things. He's going to be everywhere he is to do trouble to himself. And your job for the next 3 years is just keep him alive. Well, God is a father who understands that greater than any earthly parent could ever understand it. And he is not always there to speak the things that we just want to hear. Oh, well, then I'm not listening. Oh, that can't be for me. It must be for somebody else, because that's not what I wanted to hear. And he will tell us when we are going against his will for our lives. And many times, church, we will have to say, ouch, but thank you for the discipline, and I know that it will heal me. Amen? He will speak to us about the barriers and the blocks that are standing between our relationship with him. And it is in these times, the no's, right? Come on, parents. Sometimes you had to say no. No. Well, why? Because I said. Right? Come on. Yes, at 100 times. You're going to get the same answer. No. No, because you're going to hurt yourself. No, because that's not healthy. No, because you'll ruin your dinner. No, because you're going to fall and get hurt. No, 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 no. Right? And so the no's of life from our Heavenly Father, in our own beliefs, it says, well, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care. That's not for me. That's not God speaking to me. And then our egos will block the real meaning of the words that God is trying to get to us. And listen, this is so true of every church. We look around the church when pastor is speaking, especially when he comes to the tough things of the word. And you know what we do? We look across the aisle and we say, oh, that's good for Brother Glenn. Right? Oh, Brother Ron Link really needs to hear that. When we know that it's us that needs to hear it, but we don't want God to speak that to us. So it's for Jonathan, definitely, because I don't need that. Knowing, yeah, God's speaking to me. Come on, get it, right? When you hear from God, look at your life first before you attempt to try and tell somebody else what he's speaking. Make sense? The Bible says it this way. Pull the log out of your eye before you try to pull a splinter out of somebody else's. Hindrances. There are many more, my brothers and sisters. We need to learn to deal with them. Number four. I got 3 minutes left. How many know that's not going to happen? Put his words into practice. Luke 6:49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat. I know I say this word differently than most people. Vehemently. And immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Put it into practice. I'm going to just give you an illustration today. Last week from this pulpit, I spoke to you and I said one of the reasons why God probably doesn't speak to you is because you're not going to put it into practice. You're not willing to do what he says to do. I drove home with my wife. We drove up to the house. I was hungry as normal. I said, "You want to go out and eat?" We had already gone out to eat that week. We try not to do that too many times. I said, "Do you want to go out to eat?" "Nah, I'll cook something." "Okay." Pulled up to the house. I said, "Oh, wait a minute. There's an Applebee's gift card on the table. Run in and get that, and we'll go to Applebee's." So I want you to see what's happening here. We were going to stay home, right? God tells us to go. Well, I didn't know it was God at the time. We go to Applebee's. Beth and Brandy are there, as sometimes we usually see them there. But anyway, we're sitting down at the table, me and Kim, and a couple comes in. They're sitting probably about where Charlie and Dave are. Charlie and Dave, raise your hand there so people, okay, so they're sitting about that far from me. My table's facing this way. They're about the same location. Their table's sitting this way. My heart begins to break. Just break. My heart just begins to break, and I feel it, and I know it, and I know what's going on, and I'm like, "God, not in the middle of a restaurant. I've done it in Wawa. I've done it at gas stations. God, not in the middle of a restaurant. But I know the words that I spoke the message. Do what God tells you to do, or he's not going to speak to you." And so 10 minutes go by, and I see my wife. She sees I'm getting a little restless. And I just hear the Lord, "Go pray for that couple. Go pray for that couple. Go pray for that couple. I don't know them from Adam. Never saw them before. Go pray for that couple." "Okay, God." So I look, about 15 minutes goes by. And what I didn't realize was even the time was part of God's plan. I didn't know that. But anyway, 15 minutes goes by, and all they have are drinks on the table. I'm thinking, okay, well, that's good. At least they don't have food. I'm not going to disrupt their dinner. Don't you know, as soon as that happens, their food comes out. Now I'm like, "Okay, God, I really don't want to do this. God, what if I go up there and they tell me, 'Who are you, you crazy nut? Get away from our food.' Now the whole restaurant's in an uproar and I'm sticking out." So I said to my wife, "Honey, I got to go to that table and pray." She goes, "I'll pray for you." I'm like, "Thanks a lot." I thought maybe you'd say, "Oh, I'll go, honey. Don't worry about it." No. I make my way out of my table. I walk over to them. I said, "Hi, this is nervous for me. I'm Ken Albert. I'm a pastor in the community, and I really have a sense that God sent me over to pray for you. Would that be okay?" And I watched the man over here. He's got a little agitation to it. Not bad, but just a little agitation. But I don't know what's going on in his heart. And so he says, so the wife's shaken up. I can see it now. And he says to me, "You must have seen an aura about us." Well, I don't believe in auras. I believe in hope, but I didn't say that. "You must have seen an aura about us because, yeah, her sister is dying and probably has already died. And we just went to see her." I say, "Oh," I said, "what's her name?" And the lady told me, "Irene." I said, "Would it be all right if I pray for Irene and you?" And he goes, "Well, you can pray for her. That's not my thing." I said, "Okay." So her name was Debbie, I believe. And so I said, "Debbie, I don't want to pray out here." I said, "Would you move in so I can sit down next to you?" Her food's on the table, and she scoots in, and I just put my hand upon her, and I just pray. And I pray for her sister, who they think has already died, and I pray for Debbie and the family as they go through this. And then I said, "This is not normal." I said, "So just know that." And he's like, something definitely was at work. So I go back to my seat. 10 minutes later, I watch him get out of his seat. He walks over to our table. He says, "Your timing was perfect. We just heard that as you were praying for my wife, her sister died while you were praying. Passed into eternity." And then he says this, and I don't know how to deal with that because I'm agnostic. I'm like, "Oh, you don't believe in God. Okay." Now, I didn't act like that, but in my heart, I'm like, "God, I see what you're doing. It wasn't about Debbie. I never found his name out. It was about him. I ministered to her and her need, but he was doing something in this guy's life who didn't believe in him." So as they walk out of the restaurant, she walks by and said, "Debbie, I'm going to pray for you and your family. I'm going to keep you in prayer. Thank you very much. I needed that," she said. "You don't know how much I needed that." And then he walks by after and he goes, "Listen," he says, "he was on your shoulder." I wanted to say, "Who was on my shoulder?" But that's not the time to be cocky. I understood. God was working in his life. And you know what? Had I not been faithful to the word that I preached to you, I would have missed an opportunity to pray someone into eternity, to pray for a family member who is evidently very upset with the loss, and to pray for somebody who doesn't believe there is a God, but evidently cannot walk out of a restaurant and say, "Okay, what was that about?" Right? So praise God for that. Where would that woman be today? I don't know. What is that man thinking today? What is his process today? I never got to know his name. I don't know. I may never see him again. They were from Cape May, so I will probably never see them again. But I'll tell you what, something's working in his heart. And something's working against a false belief that says there is no God, and God doesn't do these things, and God couldn't talk to me today, and God did. If you want to hear God speak consistently to you, you must be willing to develop the habit of responding to whatever he tells you to do. It's not comfortable, I can tell you. I had visions of everybody in Applebee's just looking at me being yelled at because I went and disturbed somebody's dinner like a kook, like a crazy man. Didn't happen because it was God that was leading me. In 1 Samuel 3, God speaks to the child Samuel about what he's going to do in the nation of Israel. Samuel would become the next priest. Samuel's about 12 years old. He's been dedicated to the Lord. He lives in the temple with the priest Eli. Three times one night, God speaks to Samuel. Samuel, I'm here. But he thinks it's Eli calling him. He goes to Eli. I'm here. And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Three times this happens. The third time it happens, Eli says to him, whoa, I think God's... Now, this is the priest of the nation. This is the prophet of the nation. You'd think he would know the voice of God. He doesn't. That's how bad the nation has gotten. And so he says, you know, I perceive, Samuel, that God may be speaking to you. So when he speaks again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Church, when God speaks to you, respond. Speak, Lord, I hear. I'm hearing you. I may not always like what you're saying, but I'm hearing you. I must move on this morning. One last one today, and it's not going to be long. Number 5, practice. Just practice. Get up at Applebee's and give the word of God. Pray for somebody that God tells you to pray for. In the middle of Wawa, I have laid hands on people in the middle of a busy Wawa and prayed with a person because they've asked me for prayer. In the middle of our school hallways with cameras running, I have prayed for people in the hallways of that school. I am not going to back down when the opportunity presents itself to give the gospel or to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. I refuse. Will they laugh at me? They probably will. Have people laughed at me? They probably have. I got to be okay with that because I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about meditating on the word. It speaks about growing in our walk with our Lord and with our God. In our scripture that started all of this off, Jesus uses the example of a sheep with a shepherd. He says, my sheep know my voice. What he meant was that they know his voice and they know how to listen to it and they know how to follow it. Why is that? Because the sheep have spent enough time with that shepherd to know his voice inflections and to know the way he talks and to know what he is speaking or the noises that he makes. They know to follow him. Continue to keep hanging around your shepherd, church. Amen. Continue to listen what he is saying. Continue to know and learn the inflections of his voice. Learn the tones of his voice. And when he speaks, get up out of your table and pray for somebody. Go and do what he's told you to do. Be obedient to the voice of God. And I guarantee you, if you will, he will continue to speak and he will continue to speak. And continue that practice for the rest of your life. And you will become a sheep that knows the voice of your shepherd. Amen. 3 weeks of messages now on hearing the voice of God. Listen to them, practice them, put them into effect. Very simply brought out, because I brought them out, so I know they're simple. Very simply brought out in a way that you can receive them and that you can follow them. And we will be a church with people in it that know how to hear the voice of God in the day that we're living in. Amen. Would you pray with me today?